This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Our next story is a little bit of a difficult one. It's a little talked about issue, although I think if you've been tuning in from earlier, it's been covered in our news reports. So we're going to be talking about stalking.
So this comes from the Thomson Reuters Foundation, and it's about the need for an anti-stalking law here in Malaysia. Women who are usually targets of stalking have no official avenues for help. And it's not just a legal thing, culturally as well. We see matters such as these as domestic and private issues, things to look away from and allow people to resolve private.
But when we talk about stalking, I mean, the stories that you hear, it has dire consequences. It doesn't always involve physical harm, but loss of jobs, harm to mental health, more serious cases, sexual violence or murder. And then because there's no law, it becomes the responsibility of the victim to try and find a solution, to change their phone number, to relocate, to do these things.
Melissa Alvarado, a program manager at UN Women in Bangkok, said that in Malaysia, women who have been stalked feel terrified, but often the police will respond with, but nothing has actually happened yet. An attitude like this, she said, misses the chance to prevent something awful from actually happening.
And a big part of that is, of course, that there is no provision in the law, right? So, but that might change. I mean, the government has begun early discussions on introducing an anti-stalking law. De facto Law Minister Liu Vui-Kyong said that the views of the public, NGOs and women's rights groups are welcomed and being taken into account. He went on to say that victims of stalking should take down details and file a police report, saying that there are existing laws to deal with a lot of harassment cases. But at the moment, stalking is difficult to prove.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things to take away here. First of all, I'm very glad that the government is actually taking this very seriously. And perhaps this is not the first time that a government in Malaysia has taken a commitment. I think back in 2017, the Barisan National Administration wanted to do something, but that was put on the back burner for some reason.
For me, what I'm taking away from this is when, you know, reading through these articles, I think the Malay Mail had a great one about the victim's experience trying to bring her story to the police. And what they found was that, similar, nothing's actually happened yet. And also, you know, he just loves you. So, you know, like maybe you should just consider trying to patch things up. And I think that there are two things to take away from that. One is that once something is kind of set up in this romantic frame, it becomes a private matter, you know, even, which is why you see people shouting, you know, at people in public spaces, and people don't want to intervene because it's like, well, no, it's a private relationship. And so it's a little bit difficult. I think there's something like an ick factor when it comes to getting involved in what is considered private, even though clearly something might be going wrong.
So I think a lot of times when we talk about stalking, it's mostly, and this is usually the case, that it involves romantic partners or, I guess, with romantic relationships between a man and a woman. But a few years ago, I did a piece, I think, or was it a year or two ago, I did a piece on this blogger who was stalked by one of her blog readers. So this person would call her office, this person would sometimes follow her and would know who she lived with, where she lived. And I think she struggled for a very, very long time because she was always concerned about her safety and she never knew where she could go safely. And she always had to have someone accompany her, even if it's just a short walk to her car. So the experience for her has been terrifying. And when she filed a police report, the police said, you know, we empathize with your case, but legally there's really nothing we can do.
So that's exactly it, right? And that's where this law comes in. But also from a behavioral point of view, I just think a lot of us are brought up, and I'm counting myself in this. I've seen my fair share of romantic comedies where you see certain behaviors now, and when you look back on it, you're like, this is entirely wrong. This is just unacceptable. But at the time, it's kind of painted as, wow, look how much he loves you. He will follow you around everywhere. He will show up at your front door while your husband sits inside watching television.
Love Actually?
Yes. I'm heading down that path. But there are lots of problematic things that are, you know, kind of characterized as, hey, this is super romantic. And it's just a bad thing for both men and women because it teaches everybody it sets the normal up as something that just isn't normal at all. And that, I think, is a part of what leads to the behavior.
Yeah, and actually, if you look online, research suggests that when women watch these films, these rom-coms like Love Actually, they tend to think that these behaviors are acceptable and tolerable. And that's not because that's not their fault. It's just the fact that the movies are portraying it this way, making it look like, well, he's just being romantic and, well, boys will be boys.
So it's a pretty big and complex issue, but we wanted to get the perspective of Ren Chung, who's an advocacy manager at the Women's Aid Organization. We have him on the line, and we'll be right back to continue this. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building Fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
This is the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We are talking about stalking. Specifically, we're talking about the fact that there might be a law an anti-stalking law to kind of take into account what victims go through. And we've received two messages, both kind of saying the same thing. One from CO and one from Richard saying, essentially, we need to be careful saying that stalking is not just about women. It can be on either gender. And yes, of course. And once the law comes into place, I don't think we need to be concerned about that. It is going to, of course, take into account all victims. We are focusing on women because largely statistics support that the victims of this crime, it's not a crime yet, but the victims of this act tend to be women. And so, yes, the law will cover everybody. And yes, of course, we know that it's not just, you know, women who are affected by this. But broadly speaking, it is a problem primarily faced by women. And for that reason, we're going to cross over now to Yuren Chung, who's the advocacy manager at the Women's Aid Organization. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, as we've heard, they're looking into formulating anti-stalking laws. Is this the closest that the government has ever gotten to acknowledging a need for these laws?
Yeah, I think this is the furthest step the government has ever done to recognize the need for anti-stalking laws. And in fact, it's a commitment by the Honourable Minister, YB VK Liu, to enact laws to protect against stalking. Such a law had quite some support already from members of parliament from both sides of the aisle. In 2017, several MPs spoke in the Dewan Rakyat about the need for stalking laws. Last year, a few MPs made public statements on the need for stalking laws. And, you know, when you talk to frontline officers, those who are handling cases of violence against women, a few of them I talked to also noted that they would like to see such laws enacted. So we're so happy and pleased to see that for the first time, the minister in charge of law has actually committed publicly to enact anti-stalking laws.
How widespread is the problem of stalking in Malaysia?
Yeah, there isn't any prevalent study on stalking specifically in Malaysia. However, we have good reason to believe that it's a big widespread issue. First, if you look at information from other countries, studies have been done in other countries, and we see where studies have been done, we see a general trend, which is 1 in 6 women have experienced stalking in their lifetime, and 1 in 12 men have experienced stalking in their lifetimes. So if you see that this is something that happens in other countries quite consistently, I think we have some reason to say that, you know, even if you take a conservative estimate, that's a lot of people. If you look at specific data in Malaysia, although there is no specific study on stalking itself in terms of prevalence, but we can look at for example, related info, studies on prevalence of domestic violence, and which study by University Science Malaysia estimated that 9% of ever-partnered women have experienced domestic violence. And if you look at studies of domestic violence, you see that of these cases, at least around a third of these cases will involve some form of stalking. So that's another indication that the problem is slightly widespread in Malaysia.
So I think we all have, you know, some understanding of what stalking is, but how does the law classify what it means to stalk someone?
Yeah. So I think people have some understanding of stalking. You know, there may be some instances where we may use stalking more in a joking way, like, oh, let's go and stalk this person on Facebook and so on. So that's more of a casual use of the term, which is not really what we're talking about here. But I think people also would have a good understanding, an intuitive understanding of what we mean when we say stalking as a crime. And to give it a more concrete definition, we have done NGOs, so the Joint Action Group for Gender Equality, and with WAO, has drafted proposed legislation that we draw upon from best practices in other countries. Many other countries have adopted laws on stalking. The elements of such laws are first involves a course of conduct. And what we mean by a course of conduct is an action that happens repetitively, so more than once, or continuously. So it's one time, but over a course of a period of time. So you can think of examples such as if I show up at your house and then I show up at your workplace and then the next day I show up where you're shopping, for example. So that's an example of repetitive action. Continuous is an example where I see you at your workplace and then I continuously follow you, maybe in a car or on foot, to where you're going next, in your home maybe. So that's the action that's described. The second element is the impact or the reasonable impact on the person being stalked. So stalking as a crime must cause a reasonable person to feel fear for their safety or safety of another person, or to cause the person to suffer emotional distress.
And I suppose in trying to understand the prevalence of stalking, what is it that drives this pattern of behavior?
I think there are several classifications of stalking, but the most important point to emphasize, I think, is the need or the desire to exert control and or to cause fear in another person. It's very strongly associated with violence against women. It's not always a case of violence against women, but stalking is strongly associated with violence against women.
So to take an example, right, that was reported in the article on the Malay Mail, I mean, a Malaysian woman shared her experience of reporting an ex-boyfriend who was stalking her to the police. And the officer who took down the report didn't seem to understand the danger of the issue, asking the victim, you know, why don't you just return to your sweet and loving ex-boyfriend, which in turn suggests that she saw this man's behavior and attention as gestures of love. Is this a common misunderstanding?
I think there are two elements here with regard to the reaction of police officers. The first is, you know, it's true that perhaps some frontline officers may lack the knowledge or resources to effectively deal with certain cases, certain criminal cases. So that certainly may be the case. However, when we talk about stalking, I think more importantly, we have to look at a second consideration, which is stalking is not yet a crime in Malaysia. And police officers act based on crimes. So if someone comes to the police station and says, look, I've been stalked, this person has followed me around, you know, this is my ex-boyfriend, he was abusive, and now we've broken up, but he's still following me around and repeatedly communicating with me in a way that is causing me fear for my own safety, that is not something the police officer can necessarily or can easily deal with. If they're quite diligent, they may look into other elements of the case. Maybe the stalker is also committing a crime such as trespassing or damaging property or explicitly threatening the person being the survivor or the victim. But really, if we're talking about classic forms of stalking, following someone around, repeatedly communicating, that is not really a crime. So in a way, you can't really blame the officer who's unable to take action, because our police officers need to enact based on what already is a crime. And that's why we are so encouraged by the strong and positive commitment made by the Honourable Law Minister that his office will make efforts to enact stalking laws in the country finally.
In a lot of romantic films or comedies, there are behaviours playing out that, when we scrutinise closely, look a lot like the classic definition of stalking. But because these behaviours become romanticised in films and books, we internalise it as normal rules of courtship and love. How much does this add to the problem?
Yeah, I think that's very problematic. The way different media or any kind of public messaging or even discourse within different segments of society, be it at your home or with your friends and so on, that can be problematic if certain stereotypes are enforced. Actual sort of harmful stalking behavior is romanticized, you know, such as I think a classic example is of a love interest not giving up and, you know, even though they've been rejected and just sort of using all kinds of means to pursue that perceived love interest. even though it seems to be unrequited. So in some instances, I'm not going to say all, but in some instances, this does amount to stalking if such behavior, if viewed by a reasonable person, can be seen to cause fear for the recipient's safety or someone else's safety, or to cause the recipient emotional distress. So it is important that we look at these kinds of portrayals of relationships. But I think more importantly is, from a government point of view, is to enact anti-stalking legislation such as the Honourable Law Minister has just committed to do.
And what sort of amendments should Putrajaya be looking to make?
So I think the good news is that to enact anti-stalking laws is not a very complicated thing. In fact, it's quite straightforward. What needs to be done is first to have a new offence in the penal code, which is the offence of stalking. So that would highlight the definition of stalking specifically, and also to specify punishments and protections available to survivors. And I think an important element of this is to introduce what is called what could be called a restraining order in the law. So this could be in the Criminal Procedure Code, the CPC. So that, there will be one amendment to the Penal Code and perhaps another amendment to the Criminal Procedure Code. But the key point is that we introduce this device called a restraining order. And again, this is something quite common in other jurisdictions, whereby if someone is being stalked, they can get this order to protect them during the duration of the investigation. So this is a key part of any stalking law. And the idea is we want to emphasize prevention and protection. So if a survivor who reports stalking is able to get a restraining order immediately, then that gives them immediate protection against the stalker. So it's not saying that the stalker is guilty or whatever. It's just saying that, look, given the likelihood and the risks of violence towards the survivor, let's give them a temporary restraining order so that they get protection. Meanwhile, the investigation can carry on. So it's a very straightforward amendment to the law. It just involves a small amendment to the Penal Code and Criminal Procedure Code to define stalking, its punishments, and to create a restraining order.
Ren, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Yuren Chung, Advocacy Manager at the Women's Aid Organization, talking to us about the hows and whys of implementing anti-stalking laws. We've received a couple of messages, some experiences. Keep them coming. Let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, though, we are headed to the 7 p.m. news. Keep it here on the Evening Edition.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.